And Kathy Dawes now, along with Jana Fallon and also Sydney Carlin with the Daughters of American Revolution local Polly Ogden chapter with us today, talking about Constitution Week and all kinds of activities in connection with it. We've talked about some of the different schools that you're visiting, that type of thing. I guess also a city proclamation. I don't know, Jana, if you want to address that.
Tomorrow night, Sydney and I will be with the City Council, and a bunch of the DAR members will be out in the audience, and we are so grateful that our town will do that. There's a proclamation that will be given that this is Constitution Week.
And in addition to the City Commission, too, Sydney, I mean, the bell ringing, I think you wanted to talk about briefly, too.
Well, yes. Constitution Week starts on September 17th, that was yesterday, and goes through the 23rd. And one of the things that the DAR has always supported is a bell ringing across the United States. And we're supposed to all do that. They do it at 4 back east. We do it at 3 here. And supposed to ring the bell for 3 minutes. We will be ringing bells when we go to our classrooms, and we are going to ask, you know, the schools to have a time this week that they ring the bell for 3 minutes. And it's just kind of cool to just think that maybe all across America, people are ringing the bells of freedom.
And that's what it signifies.
Yeah.
I guess we need to mention that, too.
Yeah.
I know that earlier, you know, Dave Lewis had talked some about how people don't even know any of the amendments or anything like that. Anything else we want to share about the Constitution to kind of refresh people's memories or, you know, some of the things that people tend to forget about it?
I don't know.
Sydney, I know you're looking through notes with
Jana. I don't know if any of we watched this. It's called Turn, but it was about the spies during Washington's when they were trying to win our independence. And it was such an eye-opener to me about all that was going on in our country. I just thought, oh, all the Americans were for it. No, they weren't. And there was all this strife, and it was a hard time. And happened then, so that we can be who we are today. And that is one of the reasons DAR started in 1890, so that we would not forget what happened to make us who we are. And that's what the Constitution Week is about, too, reminding us.
And the DAR initiated the observance in 1955 when they organized and petitioned Congress to dedicate September 17th through 23rd as Constitution Week, and President Eisenhower signed it into public law. And the goals are to encourage the study of historical events that led to the framing of the Constitution, and to inform people that the Constitution is the basis of America's heritage and the foundation of our way of life, and to emphasize that United States citizens have a responsibility to protect, defend, and preserve the Constitution. Yeah. And as an elected official, I will just interject now, we don't do much of that as a DAR, but the people help me as an elected official to get things the way they want them to be. And that's not, I'm not talking about giants in the community. I'm talking about individual citizens that bring me ideas and concerns and needs. And the way our government is set up, I think it's also interesting that there was quite a struggle over, you know, how to get representation for this country. And all of that's part of the Constitution. You have 2 representatives per population, and you have 2 senators for each state, so that the smaller states had equal representation in one of the bodies of government. And those were struggles that the Adams and Madison and Jefferson struggled with and fought for and won. And then setting up the Supreme Court and, you know, the banking systems and all of that.
Just the way it's all set up. They were amazing people, that they had the foresight to organize our country like they did. And I'm very thankful for them.
Now, some would say that we're a little bit divided these days, but Dave wanted to interject a comment here.
And part of that division comes from... you have to put your headphones on if you want to hear me, Sydney.
Oh.
That's the way that works.
Okay?
How about that?
Can
you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. This is not a cell phone commercial. one of the things that, you know, you talked about to the Supreme Court, you talked about having equal representation for the smaller states. And, of course, that relates directly to the Electoral College, mm-hmm. which has come under fire for lots of different reasons. And that is something that, does an organization like yours, do you make statements in support or non-support of some of these matters? That's because I know that that's a big concern because it's come into play twice here in the last 20 years.
You know, as far as, I'm going to let Jana respond to that as well, but I think the League of Women Voters responds to things. They study issues and respond. We are more of a supportive
historical
organization. Jana, why don't you?
Well, the motto of DAR is God, home, and country. And I mean, they believe what they say. And it is certainly, I think, probably DAR didn't make a statement, but they believe strongly in the way our country is set up and the reasons we have. It's been kind of interesting to read all the articles that have come out since we do have people that think that the Electoral College is not important. But there have been some beautiful articles come out about how that helped level the playing field, too. Because otherwise, all the big states would win all the elections because they could just get the votes, and it would leave the rest of us hanging. So it's an interesting concept. I'm glad you brought it up.
I have a little bit on that, too, in front of me here. The Electoral College has 538 electors, and 435 of those represent the number of members in the House of Representatives, and 100 represent the senators. Three for the District of Columbia. Candidate for president has to receive 270 electoral votes to win. And only, let's see, each state delegation gets one vote. So, you know, and I'm not sure that in today's world I would want to set it up that way. But I think in the world we had when we built our country, and it's most things have continued to work well, but because of communication and because we can get back and forth across our country so easily, and our presidential candidates, excuse me, and our presidents can speak to us so much easier than when they were writing this. We didn't even have radio.
Good points. Yes,
or telegraph, telegraph.
We had Paul Revere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Even newspapers were.
Pony Express was not even in.
The newspapers were really, really big, and writing was very, very big. But you know, the public wasn't all that well educated. A lot of people went to school to third grade.
You even had trouble reading, probably.
And they probably could read, but you know, the language that some of these folks like Ben Franklin used, I mean, you know, they had quite a vocabulary. Yeah. So it is interesting, but I think communications and transportation and accessibility to our elected officials could allow for a change in that kind of thing, but that would be a constitutional amendment, and we don't do that very often.
And I'm so old, I don't think we should change it.
Well, I tell you, ladies, we've covered a lot of territory. I feel like we could have talked the whole hour, but we're about out of time. Anything else you want to add today,
Jana? I just want to thank y'all for letting us come and talk about this on K-Man. And I want to let you know that your Polly Ogden DAR chapter is the largest in the state of Kansas. And that's really amazing because when Sydney joined in 1990-something, there were 12.
So.
And when I came in, there was probably 15. And Mary
Lindquist
worked so hard, many of you remember her, to change this. And we are the largest in the state. We're 147 members. So
that's impressive.
I think that's amazing.
Well, and I think just say how you get to be a member. And I know, Kathy, you and I have talked about whether you might have the background for this. And it's you have to have a soldier in your background.
Lineage. It could be anybody that contributed to the revolution. It could be house servants. They really have broadened it out about people who contributed to the cause. And we have women who have all kinds of lines that go back.
You find out you've got a cousin. You thought you had, let's see, I'm the eighth generation from the soldier that was, and he was born in this country in 1729. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, you know, when you know your history like that, you probably have a connection and could be become a member. And Jan Wickman is doing the helping people with
membership,
their paperwork. And
she's the state also, and she's amazing. If anybody is interested, please contact me. I'm Jana Fallon, and I'm at K-State, and you can get a hold of me because I'd love to have new members.
Yeah. Thanks to both of you for stopping by today. Jana Fallon and Sydney Carlin with Polly Ogden Chapter, Daughters of the American Revolution. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Paige Humphrey, Out of the Darkness, Suicide Prevention Walk, Kansas State University. You're listening to In Focus.